Are you ready to hear what Jason Lloyd said about it?
Oh, yeah. Especially when it comes to our beloved Cleveland Guardians.
Don't want to hear what he was saying about Deshaun Watson.
Don't want to hear that right now.
But you can hear what he was saying about the Cleveland Guardians.
For the first time since 2016-17, I feel like this team absolutely can win a World Series. I've thought that all year. I think a very good chance. I'm all in on this team because of their bullpen. Because that's how you win in baseball today, is with a dominant bullpen.
Do you believe this team can win a World Series? 216-474-0092.
So I have been asking the question to many of the doubters of the Guardians this year. Why not? Why not the Guardians? Why can't they make a run? Look at how wide open the American League is. Look at all the problems that every team that we're going up against. I mean, we just had, was it Ken Haney on around the AFC North yesterday?
Bob Haney.
I got Ken Wyman.
Ken Wyman.
And then they formed a Voltron.
Those are two different people, seriously? I heard him yesterday talking about the Orioles and how they're kind of languishing.
They're both middle-aged white radio show hosts.
Right. The central casting. The way he was talking about the Orioles, it was like, well, we got all these issues. Okay, well, that's one of the teams that we're competing with. The other teams are the Astros, the Yankees. Like, why can't the Guardians hang in there and make a run? Like, no, on paper, do I think their team is better than, like, the Dodgers or whatever? No, I mean, other teams have more talent. But it's Major League Baseball postseason. We're not new to this. We know that if you have a great bullpen, that is a huge deal. Now, like, get some starting pitching.
What bothers me so much is we talk about it still like we're talking about, like, when we play the lottery. Like, oh, you know, I could win. We'll see how it goes. Like, I'd like to have a little bit better of a feeling than that.
Well, who could?
It's not.
Who
could feel that way? I'm not upset by it.
In the American League, who could possibly feel other than that?
Well, I think the Astros fans can. There's history.
I mean, the Astros are.
Tell me I'm wrong. I'm right.
What, just because they've done it in the past?
Yeah.
I don't think they feel, but that's even more so, I don't think they feel anywhere near as confident about this team.
You didn't feel more confident about the 2017 team than the 2016 team because they were there and they won 22 games in a row?
Yeah,
there's history. People play off of history. There's very little history.
Yes, but if you're the Astros, you've seen Astros teams that dominated the regular season far more than this team has. So I think they, comparing to their great teams, I don't think this Astros team, in fact, right now, I just pulled up a piece about Justin Verlander. They have no idea if he's even going to factor into the rotation in the postseason, because he has not been the same pitcher after he dealt with his neck issue this year.
He has
way back in June.
Like, I understand.
They definitely have their own issues.
But everybody has their own issues. And I would agree, because of the landscape of things, yes, I feel very good about the Guardians. I'm not. If they can get past the Astros, I'm going to feel very good about it, because there's just some stinking terrible suspicion I got about that team. Mm-hmm. And I just don't want to face them. I don't even want to play them at the end of the season next week.
Well, you're going to have to play that series.
I know. But I don't want to. I don't want to.
Can't opt out?
No, you can't. You cannot opt out on them. That's what it is.
So to me, it's a why not?
I want to do it.
Why not, when we talk about this bullpen, when we...
I think they actually had that as a motto once.
Well, when you shorten the game, the way that the Guardians have the potential to shorten the game, I mean, we're sitting here wondering about what the starting pitching is going to be, what that rotation is going to be for the playoffs. Well, the good news is you are looking at a bye, so you get to set your guys.
Right.
And mm-hmm. I think there's still some jockeying for position. I still think maybe the Guardians don't necessarily know.
I think the magic number as of right now, according to Joe Noga, Cleveland.com, is 5 to have the bye. I think it's 5 to have the bye. And then right now, they clinch AL Central's 4, and they can clinch a playoff spot today. So once they're officially in, and they're basically officially in a lot of ways, but you can't pop any champagne yet, then, yeah, I got a lot of confidence in them. They can do it. There's just a team I really want to avoid more than the other ones, and that's the Houston Astros.
And right now, the legitimate concern about Stephen Kwan and what's going on with his back and the fact that he's going to be missing time now, and it was not looking all that pretty. It looked like maybe Kwan's catching fire here a couple of games, but I'd feel a lot more confident if Kwan was back to the Kwan of the first, 3 months of the year.
Well, I think everybody would.
I know you want to avoid the Astros, Ken. The best way to do it, and because they're going to end up with the 3 seed, I think, no matter what. Mm-hmm. It's the Yankees and the Guardians jockeying for 1-2, and the Yankees have it by
game
and a half right now. So that would put the Astros at the 3 seed. The 2 seed and 3 seed would play each other in that divisional round. if you could somehow get ahead of the Yankees and make the Yankees have to play the Astros.
Well, thanks a lot to Julio Rodriguez last night. Yeah. I have a worse chance of being able to do that. Fell asleep at third base.
Send him a postcard.
He really didn't fall asleep at third base.
Send him a card just like you sent Don Staley, and we'll be...
You're a great card sender.
I am a wonderful card sender. I forgot to send a card to the mayor of Brook Park and then Blaine Griffin.
He's probably not going to let him build that dome there now.
I got to send cards. Jeff in Broadview Heights, hello. Jeff, you talk. I got to write out these thank you notes.
All right, gentlemen. We all agreed the strength of the team is the bullpen, correct?
Absolutely.
Correct.
Have you guys looked at this? They've actually announced the dates for the divisional series. Have you guys looked at that? Because game one is Saturday the 5th. Then they have a day off. Game two is Monday the 7th. Another day off. Game three would be the Wednesday.
Okay.
Game four is Thursday. And then game five would be on a Saturday. That is a lot of rest for the bullpen. He's going to have to mix and match and use a lot of that bullpen because there's going to be so many days off between games.
That's a good point. Okay. I'm following you now.
It's a huge advantage to them.
Considering how good their offense or their bullpen has been,
to be a World Series contender?
He's saying because of the days off, it helps them. Yeah. It's advantageous. I know. I agree.
All right, let me play devil's advocate. Because our bullpen is the strength and it is the best in baseball, I think to this point it still is considered the best in baseball. Wouldn't you want all the other teams taxed to such a point? Wouldn't you want our schedule against anybody else to be so jam-packed, so many games without rest because we have the arms and the other teams don't?
Well, that's a good point, Lyman, but I would say this, too. The way the schedule's laid out, we only have to worry about three starters, too. You're going to only have to pitch three guys in the starting rotation.
I just want to know, Monday, October 14th, when I am emceeing the Columbus Day Parade in Little Italy, it's one of the great Columbus Day
experiences. I don't think I can make it this year.
In all the country. What are you?
Hey, paisanos!
Are you protesting?
No. I don't think. Stop it. Jeff, thank you for the call.
I just want to know if the Guardians are playing that day, if I'm going to be able to spend more time in Little Italy or if I have to get out of there.
Anthony in Cleveland Heights, you're next up on the fan. Hello.
Hey, so I'll be at today's game. Hopefully I can see at least a muted celebration for a playoff berth. But
you think it's going to be muted? Muted? Don't you want to be going hog wild?
Personally, I would, if I'm voting, I would mute this celebration and just hold off for the division championship.
On Twitter, hit the mute button.
Wow.
Yeah.
I guess
what I'm saying there is no champagne. All right? They want to
White Claws. They can do White Claws, no champagne.
White Claws. There you go. So, I do agree. If you take a look at the standings, the record, and this idea that there's no great team this year, I mean, you have a situation where probably only Philadelphia and maybe nobody will win 100 games, and that's even accounting for the fact that Chicago is historically bad, so those losses are spreading out somewhere, and still nobody's going to get to 100 wins this year. The model projection sites, have only the teams you expect to be ahead of the Guardians, the Yankees, the Astros, the Phillies, and the Dodgers.
And who would you be afraid of? Who would you be afraid of in the American League?
Here's my thing on that. I think we as fans of the Guardians just need to enjoy whatever's going to happen. Because with baseball, like Ken said yesterday, there's no avoiding a good team in baseball playoffs. They're all good. And you combine that with the fact that the baseball playoffs are a crapshoot like no other. We tend to think like we're recency biased with the Cavaliers. You arrange the playoffs.
But Anthony, Owen's right. What was the question, Tone? What did you ask Anthony?
Who scares you in the American League?
So who scares you?
The Yankees.
The Yankees.
Just because
is it the uniforms that scare you? The name?
Well, I think because they go all out on the we want to put crushers in the lineup. You can't and you get to the playoff, you can't be pitching around people. You're going to have to go at them, and they can end the game with one swing. Like that's so. To me, the Yankees. Now, having said that, they're going to be under intense pressure, and so they may crap out in the playoffs. So if you ask me point blank, I'd say the Yankees.
I mean, we beat them.
All right, Anthony, thank you.
We beat them in that first game. We came from behind to beat them. I'm talking about, what was it, a month ago?
A month ago in New York.
Yeah. And
I thought it saved the season.
And for the Yankees, holy cow, they thought the season was over. Like that, you want to talk about pressure? Nobody, maybe in sports, has the pressure that the Yankees have on themselves from their fan base and their media once the postseason
starts.
They're top
three with, and Gleyber Torres has struggled recently, but I mean, you got Torres, and especially then you get to Juan Soto and Aaron Judge. If those guys were wearing Miami Marlins jerseys, which didn't Juan Soto actually wear a...
You're thinking of Stanton.
I'm thinking of Giancarlo Stanton, yes, thank you. If those guys were wearing Marlins jerseys or White Sox jerseys, I think it'd be it's a tough order there. But it's the Yankees. I can understand the Yankees. Just the Astros, just something stinks about them, and I don't want to see them. And I'm sure people are going to say I'm living in my fears, but I just don't want to see the Astros. Don't want to see them at the end of the week next week. Wish we didn't have to play them. But I am excited that
I'm excited about the dry run.
We have the possibility. Yeah, well, we have plenty of time to talk about that next week. Hopefully,
soft launch
after the Browns beat the New York Giants. Browns and Giants Sunday, Huntington Bank Field. And to talk about it, we welcome in Mary Kay Cabot from the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. Mary Kay, Lima has a question for you. Lima, go.
Yeah, given the news yesterday of one of the all-time newsbreakers calling it a career because he wants his time back, he wants to spend time with other people in his life, Woj had the ultimate bomb yesterday that he was walking away from millions of dollars. Mary Kay had a detail in his story about showering with his cell phone at all times. Is that something you, as a newsbreaker, does?
I have known to have it nearby. Now, one thing I do is I walk. I'm a walker. So anyone that sees me on my little jaunts around Rocky River here, you will see me always with my computer on my back in a drawstring bag. So I know that is very sad, but that is just the life of a beat writer.
You have had to, I'm not saying, I don't think you're sad. You have had to stop your walks and like sit down on the sidewalk and write something?
Numerous times, yes, absolutely.
Wow.
It always comes in handy. And I really don't go anywhere without my computer. It can be a restaurant. I mean, I'll leave it in the car, but I have it with me at all times.
So I had asked the question earlier in the show. Like, I understand Woj was making an incredible amount of money, providing him with an incredible lifestyle, but a lifestyle that you can't possibly ever truly enjoy. Mary Kay, have you ever been on vacation and had to, with family or friends, and had to walk away from the nice evening because you have to write 1,000 words on the Browns swing tackle?
Many, many times that has happened to me, especially because the Browns have had so much dysfunction over the years that I remember trying to go to mom prom with my son at St. Ignatius, and something happened with Johnny Manziel, and I had to, before I walked into mom prom, or right before, I made it to mom prom, and I made it on time because I was always very committed to getting to every one of my children's activities, but it wasn't without, like, you know, banging out a little bit of a Johnny Manziel story before I walked in.
Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. When's Jed Wills going to play?
I would say he's a couple weeks out. I think Jack is closer. He got back to practice a little bit sooner, and he seems to be pretty much ready to go. He is full go on the injury report this week, whereas Jed has been limited.
What's taking so long? I mean, this was what? This was a scope? What's taking so long here?
You know, every injury is different, and every body heals differently, so you never know. I was told that DeJuan's torn MCL wasn't as bad as Jed's, so it depends on the severity of the injury. You can't compare apples to apples, and we shouldn't judge Jed negatively for not being back yet.
So your thought is that it will be Conklin this week, or no, not ready yet?
You know, I'm going to say if I were the Browns, I would probably ease Jack Conklin back into it, put him in there on some third downs. Now, this week you've got DeJuan Jones ailing a little bit with his torn MCL recovery. He's got a sore knee. So I would probably throw Jack in there to give James Hudson a little help every once in a while, maybe on third down. But you might need a little help on the other side as well. So maybe Jack is a bit of a swing tackle this week.
Mary Kay with us. We were talking about Deshaun Watson, his performance last week. I thought it was a very nice bounce back performance. I still think he's far away from being the Deshaun Watson we need him to be. How did you feel about his performance? And do you think we're going to see an even better version this week?
Well, I will say this. If we had been told David Njoku is not going to play in that game and Amari Cooper is only going to catch 3 of 8 targets for 16 yards, I don't know if very many of us would have put that down as a victory. So I think the fact that Deshaun Watson was able to pull that off without his top two targets, I think that was pretty remarkable. If you look at Brock Purdy, let's see what Brock Purdy is going to be able to do when he doesn't have Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel. A quarterback sometimes is only as good as the supporting cast. And I think that hopefully for Deshaun, he and Amari will kind of get it back together soon. But he's not going to have David this week, so I can't say that he's going to go out there necessarily and light it up. He is heating up with Jerry Jeudy. That's good for him. But I think that, you know, right now they're a little challenged in the passing game until Deshaun and Amari kind of get it together.
What's going on with Amari Cooper? Why is he struggling?
I don't know. You know, we have him today, so looking forward to talking to him. And I think it could be a combination of things. First of all, he missed all of OTAs, and he sat out the mandatory minicamp. And maybe those reps do matter. Coaches certainly think they do. Players don't necessarily think they do. But maybe all of that practice and all of those reps and all of that time on task, maybe it does mean something. And then the other thing is, of course, he was the subject of trade rumors. And different guys respond to things differently. Perhaps this is in his head a little bit. And I don't know. We will ask him that today. Maybe that has nothing to do with it. Maybe it's just nothing at all, and he will go out there this week and catch 8 passes for 110 yards and 2 touchdowns. So we just kind of have to see where it's going, but I do feel like it's going to get better, and Deshaun certainly feels like that.
Heading over to the defensive side of the ball, Myles Garrett, obviously dominant again through the first 2 games of the year. At the same time, he is dealing with a foot issue. We were just kind of mulling it over, given the schedule, and we know what a gauntlet it becomes once they start with Philly on October 13th. No reprieve there. Every week is going to be a challenge after that. Should they get him a week off for some rest before then? Because they don't have that bye until the middle of November.
Well, they'll monitor it. If it gets to the point where he needs a blow like that, then they'll give it to him. But he's never been one to want that. He always wants to be out there for his team. He's one of those guys that will drag himself out onto the field in some kind of pain. I mean, you can always appreciate that about Myles Garrett. So he's not coming off that field unless he absolutely has to. And then they will monitor it, and they'll limit him when he needs to be limited. He only played, I think, 41 snaps in this past game. That seemed to be pretty manageable. It didn't really look like it was bothering him much until he tried to chase down Trevor Lawrence on that 33-yard run. After that, he was struggling over there a little bit. But I think he should be okay. If he's not, they'll dial it back. Same thing with Denzel Ward. He only played 11 snaps. He should probably play more this week with the shoulder, but these are two things to keep an eye on.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us here. Bill Callahan, how much do they miss him?
Well, I think that remains to be seen. I think more so than anything right now, they miss their left tackle. And that's basically what's been going on. So let's see what happens when he has a full complement of players back and when DeJuan Jones isn't over there suffering from not only now a sore knee, but also a shoulder injury that's been bothering him. We watched him injure that shoulder down at the Greenbrier, so I don't think he's been 100% yet. But he's another one of those guys where he knows the guys need him. He knows that he has to be out there, especially with Jed needing a little bit more time to come back on the left side. So let's see how it all goes in a couple of weeks.
We had debated in the lead up to the season, we're talking to Mary Kay Cabot right now on the hotline, about this offense being tailored for Deshaun Watson, and that is what Ken Dorsey was going to be bringing from Buffalo. What have you seen so far with the offense? Because last week, we tend to think, our amateur eyes, that it looked a lot more like a Kevin Stefanski offense.
Well, here's the thing that everyone has to remember. Every Monday, or Sunday or Monday, everyone wants to make these sweeping conclusions about a team, about an offense. just because they pulled out the jumbo formation and went with two tight ends and Zach Zinter and Nick Harris in this game, that doesn't mean they have found their identity and they're back to doing things Kevin Stefanski's way. You do what you have to do in each week to win the football game. If that requires jumbo, you go jumbo. If it requires three wides, you do that. Four wides, go ahead. It's whatever it takes to win the football game. This is a multiple offense that can do many, many things. So I think it will evolve over time. I've been saying this for a long time. It's a work in progress. It's a brand new offense. They are still trying to find what they do well and what they need to throw out of the playbook. So I don't think that you can say, oh, geez, look what they had to do. It's not that. It's what they had to do that week to win that game in those conditions with those offensive linemen and no David Njoku and different things like that. So it's way too early to start saying, oh, quarterbacks aren't throwing long anymore. Well, I just don't think that you can make really sweeping conclusions like that after week two.
All right, the Bengals 0-2, the Ravens 0-2, the Steelers 2-0, but their offense looks like it once again is on life support. Mary Kay, is the AFC North overrated?
No, it's not overrated. Both the Bengals and the Ravens have played the two-time defending Super Bowl champion Chiefs, so that's always a tough assignment, of course. So, no, I don't think so. There's a long, long way to go. And a couple of these teams, including the Bengals, always start slow and then heat up as they go along. So we'll see how it goes. But I will say this. It is setting up for quite the Hard Knocks AFC North in those final six games of the season. I think that's going to live up to all the hype.
Are they filming now or do they film later? I know it starts on December 3rd, but when do they come in?
I don't think they're going to start filming yet. We haven't seen anything yet. I think it'll be more towards the end of the season there.
Mary Kay, 85 degrees coming up on Sunday at home. Should we scrap the idea of a dome altogether now that the weather is amazing?
Great question.
No, I don't think it's time to scrap that yet. It'll be interesting to see what the decision is, but no, not time for that yet.
Mary Kay, we thank you very much for the time. All the very best to you and yours, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Hopefully you don't miss out on any life events tweeting today. Mary Kay, we wouldn't want you to go the way of Woj.
I won't. I have a big weekend coming up, and I'm not missing anything.
All right, Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Wonderful stuff from her. Here is Jed Wills yesterday when asked, when you going to be back?
I feel like I'm getting there. I don't know when I'll be playing. It's up to the coaches. Maybe this week, maybe next week. It just depends, you know.
Mary Kay said we're not supposed to speculate.
Yeah, well, that's all we're doing is speculating right now because we want to know. We want to get this situation sorted out and figure out, you know, who's going to be out there. What are you thinking right now, Ken?
I don't know, Tone. I have no idea.
Well,
I wish I could tell you. Yeah. I thought you might have an answer. That's why I asked you.
Well, no. How could I possibly have an answer right now? Like, what did you think of how they played last week?
Who played last week? The Browns?
Yeah. Well, no. Just personnel-wise. Like, what are we doing?
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
He's frustrated.
Who are we playing this week? Well, if you were to break down, like, for instance, in week one, we thought the offensive line was horrendous,
yeah.
Right? And we thought maybe accordance.
He still got pressured 44% of his dropbacks. On Sunday.
Which was amazing to me because I thought Watson had time to throw and I thought the offensive line did a great job in the running game. And this wasn't just the opening scripted plays either.
It's still very early in the season. So you can't, like, I don't care. The old 2020 Watson is not there and he ain't coming back. I'm not doing that. And that's not even a knock. I'm just trying to live in reality.
But he kind of danced around like the 2020 Watson in that game when he needed to.
He's still an athlete. It's not like he's rickety and can't move.
That Dallas game had people wondering, like, where the athleticism
was. Because he was terrified. I think he was unsure of what to do with the football. But on Sunday, there were still people. I mean, we get accused of goalpost moving in this town with everybody. Not you and me. I'm saying everybody. All right. If he's pressured 44% of his dropbacks, was it because he was holding on to the ball still too long? Or was it because of the offensive line? That is where people are drawing their line in the sand. And frankly, I don't think people really know because they don't have an identity yet on offense. Mary Kay just said it. They came out in the script at the beginning of the game on Sunday. Did they or did they not look like a classic Stefanski offense?
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
They look like a class to everybody who's watched this team over the last 4 years with Kevin Stefanski going on to year five. It looked like a classic Stefanski offense. I don't think it's ever going to always look like that, but I do think that there should be some protectionism in for Deshaun Watson to hold on to him and make sure that he stays upright or all right and breed some confidence with the guy, for crying out loud. So I thought it was the right move. That's what I thought. But I, you know, as far as the offensive line's concerned, I thought they played better than what they did in week one against Dallas, because again, it was hard to play worse, just like Deshaun Watson played better than he did against Dallas, because it was hard to play worse. But it was nothing to brag over. 81% QBR, 186 yards, touchdown on the ground. It's a fine enough game.
Mm-hmm.
Fine enough. Kind of forgettable. Kind of, wouldn't you think?
Well, does it matter to you, and I asked you this earlier in the week, but does it matter to you if 2-8 and they fire their coach?
No, I can't take anything from the...
Well, that's what I mean.
Can't glean anything from
it? Because last year, they needed that second half of the Baltimore game so badly because what were the big wins last year for Deshaun Watson? I mean, he was beating Clayton Toon, was it? They're beating Tennessee when Tannehill Clayton was about Toon, to get benched. He didn't beat Pittsburgh. He looked terrible in the Pittsburgh game.
He beat the Colts.
Beat the Colts? He started, what? He played one play in that game?
I mean, no.
He played that series after a pick six.
Counted as a winning start.
But it wasn't a pick six, was it? I thought it was just a pick.
He threw a pick.
Yeah, he just threw a pick.
Yeah, right off the bat. But he didn't really have a signature win, and then he came out and played horrifically in the first half against Baltimore. He got him back into that game and had them eventually win that game. So that was great. You want these games. Like, he's not, I'll be honest, people are not going to want to hear this, you know, here locally, but you're not going to get credit over this stretch of games coming up.
That's why I just need him to play fine. Just be a solid quarterback.
They should beat the Giants. They should beat the Raiders. They should beat Washington.
That's what I hate about
this. You're going to be sitting at 4-1, and they're only going to remember nationally that you got drubbed in the opener and got outplayed by Dallas and Dak Prescott. That's all they're going to remember.
We've referenced Nick a couple of times. This is where I really do agree with him. No matter what you say, it's just not good enough for anybody on either side of the Watson issue, because there's the pro Watson. I mean, we just had the call from Jim and Perry, who just came out right out and said he hated the guy. That's a quote. It's never good enough. If I say I'm serious about it. I just need him to be solid over the next month. Build up to Philadelphia. Build up to Baltimore and Cincinnati. Build up to those teams. I just need you to be solid. I don't need you to be a killer out there yet. Oh, that's not what we paid for. Okay, well, I guess you're always going to be miserable. And if I say, well, he's just going to be, if I, well, he's just had a solid game. When's it ever going to be good enough for you? It's good enough for me. They won the game and he was solid. He didn't turn the ball over. That was good enough for me. If he doesn't turn the ball over on Sunday, probably going to win the game. The Giants are terrible offensively. The quarterback is a running back over there. He is not a quarterback. If he doesn't turn the ball over and he plays solid, you're going to win. And they'll probably cover the spread. Would you say 6.5? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lyman has a feeling they're going to boat race him on Sunday. They'll probably cover. And they'll probably, hopefully, we can kind of put our feet up in the fourth quarter. I'd love to write end of notes with like 8 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter. That'd be great.
I think our defense is going to suffocate them and give the offense short fields and easy situations, and playing with the lead.
And I'm going to tell you right now, if he goes out and he has the same type of game he had on Sunday, I will be satisfied, Ken. You're never satisfied. I'll be happy, Ken. It's, hey, if he throws for 170 or 186 yards, I think it was, and he has a touchdown through the air, on the ground, whatever, doesn't turn the ball over, fine. Fine. That's all I need in this game. We got to get some wins, and we got to start finding an identity. I don't need to find it right now, next week. Doesn't need to happen. I got to take those steps. And I thought last week they took a step.